The Gospel of Mark, I believe the first of the Gospels to be written, has no birth narrative of Jesus. It starts with Jesus' baptism. Matthew and Luke both have the familiar, but both very different from each other, birth narratives. Today we're going to hear from the author of the Gospel of John. And just listen to how very different this is. Again, it's not a birth narrative, but it's his own incredible theological explanation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of humanity, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a parent's only son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Creator's heart, who has made him known." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, back on the first Sunday of this month of December, which was the first Sunday of Advent, we explored the Gospel of Luke's introduction to John the Baptist and his message. Coming out of the wilderness, fulfilling an Old Testament Hebrew prophecy, John prepared the way for the coming Messiah by proclaiming a message of repentance of sins, of turning away from those ways and of doing and being that are contrary to how God would have us live in relationship with others. And that is why the theme for our season of Advent this year has focused on our own wilderness journey as a way to help prepare us for God's presence in our midst. And we did indeed put a little Lent into our Advent this year. And today, on what the liturgical calendar calls the first Sunday after Christmas, we find ourselves in this 12-day season of Christmastide. And it will end when we celebrate Epiphany next Sunday, the story of the Magi following a star. Now, in today's reading from the Gospel of John, we are again looking at the role played by John the Baptist. But in contrast to Luke's version, the author of the Gospel of John gives a more philosophical approach on this role that John the Baptist plays. And he inserts this story of John in his remarkably poetic introduction of Christ that begins with the famous words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then the author continues his metaphorical description of what it means to call Jesus the Messiah, or in Greek, the Christ, by explaining that Jesus is the light coming into the darkness, and the Word of God made flesh. Now, in John's Gospel, as you just heard, John the Baptist is not even called John the Baptist, but just John. In this gospel, John is not principally a baptizer, a prophet, or even a messenger from God. John is primarily a witness, one who has come to testify to the Word made flesh, to the light that no darkness could ever overcome. And the Greek verb for to witness, which, by the way, we also get the word martyr, that has a very interesting implications in courts of law as a witness, I guess sometimes becoming martyrs. But this verb to witness occurs only once in the Gospel of Matthew, only once in Luke, and no times in Mark. Yet this verb is used 31 times in the Gospel of John. The act of bearing witness is a defining concept and a characteristic of discipleship in this gospel. And the primary message of this gospel is that the light and life that is of God is now made visible and accessible to us through this person, Jesus. And as Christians, and we see Jesus as the physical embodiment of the intentions of God for humanity. Or as John Dominic Crossan once famously stated, Jesus is what God looks like in sandals. Profound. And that is perhaps the simplest way to define the fancy theological term, incarnation. Well, as I usually like to ask at this point in a sermon, what does any of this have to do with us? Well, for your consideration, if John the Baptist's role in this gospel was to testify and bear witness to the light, then that is our role as well. That's our challenge. So then, how are you? How am I? How are we together as a community of faith bearing witness to the light, both among and within us right now, and to the light that will come? Well, it's not an overstatement to say that we are living in dark times. But then again, I think that can basically be said of any time and place in history. Therefore, testifying to the light, especially in deep darkness, can bring the possibility of illumination to those who are close to it. And I believe that's one of the benefits of a healthy congregation, being close to the light and becoming illuminated ourselves. But remember, though the light of Christ does indeed dwell within each one of us, the point in this gospel is that we ourselves are not the source of light. Rather, we can point towards the light that enlightens us, and we can reflect that light through our own thoughts and actions and words. Over 800 years ago, St. Francis of Assisi in Italy puts it this way: we are the moon reflecting the rays of the sun from our surface. The moon itself is not a source of light, but rather a reflector of light. And the amount of light that is being reflected by the moon is in direct proportion to it being in the unblocked path of the sun. Perhaps we can apply this analogy to ourselves, again, as individuals and as a congregation. The analogy goes something like this: the amount of light that shines as a reflection from us is in direct proportion to how open and unblocked we are from the true source of life, namely God, the God whom we understand is revealed through the life and ministry of Jesus. So here's one of these tough questions I like to throw in from time to time. Are there any attitudes or behaviors in your life or in the life of this community that may be acting to block the direct light from God, of God? Well, using the moon analogy, is the amount of light that reflects off of you or myself, or this community? Is it more like a full moon? Or a half moon? Or a small crescent moon? Or, heaven forbid, a lunar eclipse which is unable to reflect any light at all? So just as that John came as a witness to testify to the light, we as Christians are called to bear witness to the light and to reflect its brilliance. And granted, as progressive Presbyterians, we testify perhaps quite differently than our more conservative and evangelical brothers and sisters in the faith. For I wonder how many hearts out there would completely stop if I were to call on one of you to come forward and to give your testimony. Probably all hearts would stop. No, we tend to testify not primarily through our words, but through our actions and even through our attitudes. So the question becomes, does what you and I believe, say, and do in our daily lives testify and bear witness to the light? And John put himself in a position to be able to witness to and to point to the light. And that should be our goal as well. To put ourselves in a position to witness to point to, and to reflect the light of God's love and justice and peace and compassion. A love and justice and peace and compassion that was revealed by and through Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, the light that the darkness could not overcome. Well, this begins by allowing and welcoming the light to enter into your darkness, into our darkness. And sometimes it takes a spirit of humbleness to admit, yes, sometimes we are in the dark. But thankfully, however, that is often when others come to us and bear witness to and reflect the light of hope and peace and comfort and love when we need it most. The good news is that there is always light available to shine upon us and to reflect off of us. So here are some obvious and very simple ways we can reflect the light of God's presence onto others. How about a simple smile, or a handshake, or hug, a kind word, words and actions of encouragement, words and actions that provide an understanding of healthy boundaries, forbearance and patience with one another, forgiving and perhaps even reconciling with another. And sometimes, no words at all, just a ministry of presence. Today we stand as witnesses to testify to that light. The light coming into the world, the light that the darkness of the world has never been able to put out and never will. For as the gospel writer declares, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So as the moon, let us individually and as a community of faith bear witness to and reflect that light. Starting right now. Amen.